Hey, this is Alex Winter, and you are listening to Drunk on Comics. Don't get drunk on your comics.
All right, and welcome to a very special edition podcast.
Yeah, this one's actually a little bit of a jambalaya potpourri, if you will, because we've got two different convention interviews going on here.
Yep, we're kind of just taking everything that we've done the last couple weeks, going around the circuit, and splicing them together where we think they can fit, so...
Or where they kind of need to, because some are more time-sensitive than others, so...
Yep. Today we have Alex Winter.
Yep, that was... you guys will probably know him most from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and The Lost Boys.
My guitar impression.
Wild Stallions! Yeah. Also, that was at Motor City. From Cherry Capital Con, I got to interview Dennis Hopeless, writer of a number of things, which you'll hear about. Who else do we have on there?
Me and Matt got to talk to the people at Unshaven Comics, and they're... It's hard to explain. They're samurai, monkey, ninja...
robot. Zombie robot, space invaders, I don't know.
Opera, yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty cool comic book, but it's got pretty much everything that you want in one.
It's kind of like when you were a kid and you mixed all your cereals together. Did you ever do that?
No.
Like the Fruit Loops with the Frosted Flakes with the Captain... I'll stop talking.
Yeah. Childhood was weird.
And then also we have the guys from Source Point Press who created Jack of Spades, a good friend of the show, Josh Warner. So take a listen, see what you think, and we'll be back here in a moment. Well, a few moments. All right, guys, Derek here with Drunk on Comics up at Cherry Capital Con in Traverse City, Michigan. We are here with Dennis Hopeless. How are you doing, Dennis?
Doing well.
Hey, so just want to take a few minutes here. You know, if our listeners haven't really heard of you before, one, I don't think they're keeping their eyes open because you're all over the place right now. But, you know, fill them in a little bit on what you've done and what you're doing right now, if you would.
I started out with a book called Gearhead in 2007. I did with Kevin Mellon. And then we did an Image book in 2011 called Lovestruck, and those books sort of got me some Marvel work. Last year, I did, I guess now 2 years ago, I did X-Men Season 1 at Marvel and Legion of Monsters miniseries, which is now collected and you should buy. And then currently I'm working on Cable and X-Force for Marvel now and Avengers Arena, which are both ongoings. And then a couple months ago, I did a book called The Answer with Mike Norton and Dark Horse.
Yeah, which we talked about The Answer quite a bit on our podcast. Great book.
Thank you.
Really hoping to see more of it. I know we talked here a little bit briefly, a little earlier,
yeah,
that hopefully there's going to be some more of The Answer coming out.
That is the plan. I'm not exactly sure when that'll happen, but Dark Horse wants to do more, and Mike wants to do more, and I'd love it.
Now, I don't know if you can share any information about it, but I got to ask, there's got to be more than one answer.
There's something going on there, for sure.
Yeah,
the book, it's kind of a mystery, almost like a Da Vinci Code style mystery that just gets bigger and bigger as it goes along. Originally, we had planned to do it as like a 12-issue series, but at Dark Horse, they kind of do the Hellboy model where you do a miniseries followed by a miniseries. So there are several mysteries left that will, as The Answer goes forward in future series, you'll learn more about.
Yeah. One of the things I gotta tell you that I really enjoyed was, you know, when, and I'm blanking on her name, Devin. When she solved the puzzle and gave the web address, I was like, all right, I'm typing it in. That was a nice little piece of marketing right there, you know,
yeah,
just to have that there.
That's all Mike. I wrote the scene, but yeah, he's the one that decided to go ahead and make that a real website.
Yeah, so now Cable and X-Force, kind of fill us in on you know, a couple of the other guys are reading that. I'm reading Avengers Arena.
Sure.
You know, Hope's been one of my big, you know, favorite new characters.
Yeah.
Anything that you can tell us about what's in store for her coming up?
Well, in issue 5, I believe it was, Cable told her she wasn't allowed to be a member of X-Force. Like,
yep,
he wants her to live the normal life. But Hope was raised, you know, in the post-apocalyptic future by her dad, so she doesn't want a normal life. So coming up in the third arc, we'll find out what Hope took from that conversation, which is a little bit different than what Cable intended from that conversation. So, in issue number 9, which is the next one that comes out, Frank Thierry stepped in and did a fill-in, and that one's all about Hope and her transition from where we saw her last to where I'm going to be using her later in the series.
Okay.
So, yeah, lots more Hope coming up.
Cool. in Avengers Arena, I'm going to put my plug in. Please don't kill X-23.
Well, she's one of the harder characters to kill, so
yeah,
I'll have to work if I'm going to do it.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Like we were talking before, you know, if it's a good story and the character dies,
right?
You know, hey, you got to take it, you know. Well,
but, sure, that's what we're trying to do with the series. It is a kind of a harsh thing to put teenagers in a deathmatch scenario, and every character is somebody's favorite character, and other writers created these characters, so we're definitely trying to tell a character-driven story that focuses on these really great, interesting kids in the worst-case scenario, and going through the worst stuff that they may go through in their lives. So, we're trying to do the characters justice and, you know, show... at least tell a compelling story with them before we murder them all on ceremonies.
Well, and I know that the Runaways have a huge cult following, you know, and so those people, you know, they're very, very well loved.
Yes.
So it's...
I'm one of those fans. I mean, I'm fans of... I didn't put characters in this book that I don't like. I loved Avengers Academy, and Runaways is one of my favorite comic series of all time. So it was really fun to reread that stuff and bring them in, but nobody's safe. In fact, Runaways fans, issue number 10 is one you should look at. That might be the next one that comes out. I'm not sure if it finds out yet, but that's a big Runaways story that will be intriguing for Runaways
fans. Now, why Arcade as the villain?
Honestly, I didn't want to do Arcade. I love Arcade. I love those old comics from the 70s and 80s where he's a goofball and he tries to kill people and fails and puts them in pinball machines. I felt like early on it was going to be really difficult to make Arcade scary, and we really need a scary villain for this. But I pitched 3 or 4 different things. Axel Alonso called me up and said, stop avoiding it, just use Arcade. All you have to do is make him cool. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then I got off the phone and thought, how do you make Arcade cool? Like, that's terrifying. But I think we did a really good job in the first issue of showing that Arcade hasn't changed. He's the same guy, but he's not messing around anymore.
Yeah.
He has personal reasons and psychoses that make him a lot scarier now. Plus, he's got a new power set.
So, yeah, it was kind of nice to see a little background on him too.
Yeah.
You know, as to you know, getting sick of being kicked around by all the other villains that are out there. So.
Well, and he's good at killing humans. He was just never very good at killing superheroes. So he had to figure out that next step. And yeah, the issue number 7, we kind of find out what he went through and why he decided he needed to make that change. And I don't know. To answer your question, I never answered your question. Arcade just makes sense. I mean, of all of the existing Marvel Universe villains, he's the guy that made sense for this story. It was just a matter of having him pick that next step.
Yeah. Now, do you have any other projects coming up right now, or besides potentially more of The Answer and Cable and the X-Force and Avengers Arena, do you have anything else?
I'm on Arena and Cable and X-Force for the next little bit. Arena, the first big Murder World story ends at issue 18, and the book from there will become a different thing. We're trying to figure out exactly what that is, but the plan right now is to do something else in that vein, or with the survivors of, you know, whatever. So we're kind of figuring that out, but that will go forward. And I'm on Cable and X-Force for now. I have several indie projects in the works, but Marvel's keeping me pretty busy with the double shipping.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what the schedule's like on those.
Okay. Now, where can people find you? I know that you're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. Hopeless Dent is, I guess, at Hopeless Dent, D-E-N-T. I didn't realize that Twitter was going to be what Twitter was when I created my name, and someone else has Dennis Hopeless, so I can't change it. And then my website is just DennisHopeless.com. It gets updated almost quarterly, so, you know.
Awesome. Well, cool. Dennis, thank you very much for taking some time with us,
yeah.
And keep doing great work, man. We're loving it.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
That looks like a piece to a time machine. I don't even think that's a recorder.
That's awesome.
Sure you got the right thing?
Yeah.
We're not going back in time right now?
Did you somehow manage to listen to the podcast today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was all about time travel.
Really?
And going back in time and all
that's
that.
Hilarious.
So.
It's awesome. It's like you're going to dial in Ziggy and be like, hey, Sam, Ziggy says we're supposed to... Yeah.
All right. All right, guys. We are at the official after party here at Motor City Comic Con. And got Tony here with me.
Hello.
And we have a good friend of the show, Josh Werner.
Yes, hello.
And also Trico...
Lutkins.
Lutkins. Thank
awesome.
You. Yeah, enough crown in me tonight, and I'm already forgetting names. So.
I feel you.
Yeah, so if you guys heard our podcast... you know, the live recording at the con. I'm not quite sure when this interview is going to be coming out, but you already heard us talk about Jack of Spades, and these are the creators. So, guys, give us a quick little breakdown on your book.
Go ahead, Trico.
Oh, all right. Basically, in this world, people are randomly getting superpowers. Unlike Marvel, where they get it during adolescence or teenage years, and Jack of Spades, they get it any time throughout their life. And when that happens, usually power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So when they do get superpowers, oftentimes they don't make the best choices, and they're like, well, I'm going to use my powers to steal a whole bunch of stuff and get rich. And when that happens, a lot of the companies they get stuff stolen from call Jack of Spades to retrieve their merchandise or their money for them.
Yeah, and he was doing it for, what was it, like 1% on $10 million or something like that?
Yeah.
In the first in issue zero? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And I really liked the instant messaging going back. It's like, fine, wait for the cops. They can't handle it anyway. You know, it's like, you know, just stiff-arming them a little bit, you know. So, awesome. Now, Josh, tell us a little bit about the art style that you've done, because this was a little bit different from what I'm used to seeing from you.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't want to go with the traditional kind of classic look with the illustrations and the ink style. I went with layers and layers of washes, some of them going really dark, some of them still really kind of light and washy. And at times I really wanted to bring certain things in the background into focus, and other times I wanted to push them away so I could really kind of control the look and feel of each scene and use what I thought was best for that moment. So if I feel something in the background is going to be distracting from the emotion I'm trying to portray on a person's face, then that kind of just fades away. And I play with certain things that are out of focus, certain things that are in focus.
There's a lot of nice use on focal points and, you know, in the different panels in there. I mean, it was laid out more like what you see in photography or in, you know, a movie or television shot. Yeah. So, I mean, it was one of the things that kind of surprised me because, you know, normally when you're looking at comics, everything has the full detail. And, you know, that's great, but this was very, I want you to look at this and this is what you're going to look at. You know, and it was cool. So
it's
so,
kind of like watching 1930s movies underwater, pretty much.
Yeah. Now, this is from Source Point Press.
Yep,
now, is this your guys' company, or how is this?
Yeah.
We're kind of contributors to it, but also co-founders, yeah.
Okay.
This is the debut season, pretty much, for Source Point Press, so there's a lot of books coming out simultaneously. In addition to Jack of Spades being this the first big launch for the comic book series, there's also Alter Egos, which is an anthology written by some authors from all over the world, myself included. Trico also has a story included.
That features Jack of Spades.
Yeah, there's a Jack of Spades story in it, actually.
We already have a spin-off story.
Yep, exactly. Already.
The main one comes out.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, is it Dice?
No, it's
Jack
of Spades. Yep. And for any Mighty Morphin Power Ranger fans, there's a story that's written by thank you, by David J. Fields. He played Zordon in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh,
so
nice.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Tony's ringtone for a long time was the did. Yeah, so.
So
awesome.
That's exciting. Well, there's also... sorry, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
Okay, slightly more pimpage. Almost done. there's a comic book series about serial killers written by David C. Hayes called Serial, and Source Point just took on that book. It's already got one issue out, which is, I believe, already been banned by Amazon, and we're going to be debuting issue number two
soon. September.
Yeah. Fanfare. Now, we'll have it at Fanfare.
Okay, sure. Now are these comics going to be available in both print and digital?
Yeah.
Print, right? But I think for Indie Planet it'll be available.
On Indie Planet, I believe Jack of Spades is available digital.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, I clicked on the button. So, but in theory. Yeah.
So, with creating this new book and everything, is there a point where you think we're going to just do initial run, try to tell a couple stories, and hopefully it hits, and then go deeper into it? Or are you already just planning to have a series just going long and strong?
Yeah, hopefully a series. I mean, until Josh gets like carpal tunnel, I want to have a series going and have him illustrate.
Keep that monkey drawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I already got the whips and chains. I'm just gonna like chain them down, whip them, be like, "Come on, draw."
Yeah.
I knew when he first approached me with the project that he already had a lot lined up in advance with the story. He's got quite a bit written in advance. So I'm in it for the long haul, which is cool. But we also like. both have individual projects that are going to be coming out through Source Point Press, and you know, more together in the future, as well as a lot of other people involved and a lot of great illustrators too, not just me. There's some awesome talent on board, which is pretty exciting.
Nice.
So Josh, are you penciling, inking, everything, lettering?
Yeah, the whole everything thing. Cover art, the whole shebang, which the cover art was, I think, the big success of the con so far today, because most people, although it's been, you know, it's been on a lot of websites recently, they didn't know about it until they got to the con, which, you know, was obvious. And as they're walking by, the thing that kind of grabbed them was the cover. It was simple but really striking and bold. Yeah. And
it's awesome.
They keep stopping to look. They want to know more. So it's good.
You can tell when they see the cover, because they'll be walking by and then they'll see the cover and they'll stop dead in their tracks and walk over the table.
Sometimes so backwards, awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Rewind.
They moonwalk over to our table sometimes.
And today, stopping and backing up at the convention, that was dangerous as hell. There were a lot of damn people there.
Yeah, you're going to get a piece of cosplay in your ass when you back up.
It gives me an idea for tomorrow. So, awesome. Well, is there anything else? Oh, where can people find you? I know we did it on the podcast.
SourcePointPress.com or SourcePointComics.com. Not only can you find, there's a web store being built there right now, but you'll also see products that are available, products that are coming out soon, and also opportunities for writers and illustrators to submit. There's a zombie anthology going to be developed this fall, so we're already taking a bunch of submissions for that.
Hurry on that one, though, because the deadline ends on June 1st.
Oh, crap. That means we got to post this soon.
So that the book can be out by October. That's the goal, right? Yeah. Or sometime around there.
And also, facebook.com/JackOfSpadesComic.
Yes. You're awesome.
Excellent.
You're
honest. I don't even know what it is.
There's a Jack of Spades Facebook and a Source Point Press Facebook, so check them both out.
Yeah, and I know they can find you, Josh, on Twitter.
Yep, I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter
is Joshua Frantic, is a nickname I picked up in college. And then Instagram is AFL Illustration, and then Facebook is As Fall Leaves.
And Trico, are you on the Twitter?
No, I'm old school. I prefer Telegram and Smoke Signals, but...
You accept Carrier Pigeon.
Yeah, Carrier Pigeon, yeah.
Dude, did you ever get that Pony Express I sent you?
Still waiting for that bastard.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. Best of luck on the book. I'm excited. I can't wait to see where it's going. So,
thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Once again, we are going down the halls of Motor City Comic Con, and we are sitting with the people at Unshaven Comics. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. It's been a great show.
All right. So, tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing right now.
Well, right now we are selling the latest issue of our series, The Samernauts, Curse of the Dreadnoughts. It's a series about a team of samurai astronauts led by an immortal kung fu monkey defending the Earth from zombie cyborg space pirates.
Okay, it is all coming back to me now of when
How
we talked
awesome
to you guys at the last
is.
Con. Yeah.
Thank you. It's the second book in the series. The first one was a one-shot called Samernauts Genesis, about the origin of the team. That was a one-shot. This has been the first issue of four. The second issue is about a month away right now, and that one will be available at our next show that we'll be doing, Heroes Con in North Carolina.
Okay. Now, when you came up with this, did you guys just, like, throw a bunch of things in a hat and pull it out, and that's
Not really, no. It really was us sitting down over pie and coffee, and just, it came from the conversation that we felt like between Power Rangers, Voltron, Ronin Warriors, there wasn't a lot of shows or stuff out there like that anymore. So we just thought, okay, well, if we were going to create one of those of our own, what would it look like? What would we think would be really cool to see and interesting to read or watch? So that's where the Samernauts came from.
All right. Would you like to introduce your team here?
Absolutely. I myself am Kyle Knepper. I am half of the writing team. Matt Wright handles all of our main coloring through art and pencils and painting and pencils. And then Mark Fishman is the other half of the writing team. And does all of the digital artwork. So any pages that look computer animated or created, it's all him.
And I'm drunk as a skunk right now.
I do see you guys live up to your name, as you are all unshaven today. Very good.
Yes, it's very important to look the part for the shows.
I haven't shaved 17 years.
All right.
So where can listeners pick up this book? Can they get it online, or do they have to go to the shows?
They can buy it in our online store at Unshaven Comics Online. There's also a full listing of our convention schedule for every year there, so they can know when we're going to be local for them and where to buy.
All right, cool. Well, listeners, definitely check them out at unshavencomicsonline.com.
All right.
Yeah. Ready to go?
Okay.
All right, we are back at Motor City Comic Con hanging out with Alex Winter. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Very good.
Hey, thanks for taking the time.
Of course.
It's finally slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a big day.
You having a good show so far?
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, a ton of people here.
Yeah. Now, people probably most know you from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and The Lost Boys, one of my personal all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
So, do you still get recognized for that? Like, just walking down the
every
street?
Day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, every day.
Well, I mean, those are two fantastic movies that they've really just stood the test of time. And, you know, they were a big part of
they still
lives.
Play all the time, no matter where in the world I am. I could be in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and there's a little TV, and Bill and Ted's playing on it. It's like, I can run, but I can't hide.
Yeah, awesome. Now, we were talking just briefly before. You've got a documentary coming out soon.
I've been behind the camera for the last 20 years, and my latest movie is called Downloaded, and it's about the rise and fall of Napster and the birth of the digital revolution. So that's going to be out in theaters and iTunes and downloads and all that the summer, and then on VH1 after that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How'd you get involved with that?
I pitched it, sold it, and shot it.
What made you so interested in that?
I was a big Napster user, and been doing stuff in music for years, shooting music videos and things like that since the 80s. And then I was really into early technologies, you know, the internet when it was really starting to crank up in the 80s, and getting on social communities like in the early 90s, BBS, you know, groups, news groups, things like that.
So when Tony's a little young to remember those.
Yeah, they're like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I remember the BBS. Yeah. And, you know, the old dial-up screaming at
that's
you.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So when Napster showed up, it was such a giant leap forward. It was just such a big revolutionary change. That I took a big interest in it. And so this movie is sort of using that as a way in to how this crazy world we live in today, where everybody's fighting with each other and there's a lot of disagreements about the internet and media and transparency, and I just figured it would be helpful to kind of put a little bit of context around it.
You know, and that's a really interesting point, because, I mean, through the internet, the bonuses are is that I can hear about your projects like this through Twitter, just, you know, following you on your feed, or, you know, go and check out news groups and stuff. But the internet has really affected how our society is. I mean, just in general, you know, how we interact.
Completely.
You know, you know, the fact that there are rarely phone calls anymore to your friends.
Yeah.
It's a text message, you know. Do you find anything with that in your own personal life?
Well, yeah, and I've got kids, so it's interesting to watch them grow up completely in an online world and in a tech-oriented world, where I grew up in an analog world.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, I've always had a big interest in technology, so I'm not from an analog side where I totally reject the technology, but I'm very aware that we don't live in the same world anymore. I'm also aware that we're never going back to that world ever again.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference. So.
Well, I know that you're saying you've been taking the leads behind the camera right now. Is there any other things that you've worked on that our listeners may not, you know?
I've been shooting for so many years. I mean, I've directed a ton of stuff. I've made two other movies and a couple of Ben 10 movies for Cartoon Network. And I have my own commercial production company, so I shoot tons of TV commercials.
Are you thinking about getting back in front of the camera anymore?
I don't really do it if I can help it.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped acting professionally in 1993, intentionally.
Oh, wow.
I've always been into directing. I went to film school before I acted in Bill and Ted or any of those movies.
Where'd you go to film school?
NYU.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's always been my first love. So as long as I can shoot, I keep shooting. But if someone asks me to do something interesting, I'll do it. It's really rare. I acted in a movie with Elijah Wood and John Cusack this fall called Grand Piano that I think is coming out next year.
Okay.
I play a bad guy in that. It's a Spanish movie. It's in English, but it was directed and shot in Spain by the guys that produced that movie Buried with Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
And that should be really cool. It's more like an indie movie, but really cool. And we may do another Bill and Ted movie, and if we do that, of course I'll act in that. But I don't go out looking for acting jobs.
Yeah. And so now you say if they do another Bill and Ted, are you talking?
Yeah, we're working on it. Me and Keanu and the two writers put a story together, and the writers who wrote the first two, Chris and Ed, they wrote a script, and it's phenomenal. So that just got finished, and we're trying to put the financing together.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. That will make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know. It's not greenlit, so it's like just something that we're putting out in the water, and we'll see what happens.
But it's something that you guys are interested in the project.
No, we developed it. It's more than interest. We actually put it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can't wait till it happens, because I know it will happen. So.
Yeah. There's definitely enough fan love there. That.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see if Hollywood feels the same way as the fans do.
Yeah, awesome. Well, tell our listeners one more time where they can find Downloaded.
Well, you can find Downloaded. It'll be in theaters. It'll be on iTunes, cable VOD. It'll be streaming very wide come the end of the summer. And then it'll be on VH1 after all that.
And is there a website up now where they can go see it?
Our Facebook page. I think it's just Downloaded-Doc. But if you go to my Twitter feed, if you guys post that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and our Twitter Downloaded page will tell you where it is. I think... let me just check, since you can cut this into pieces. I'll tell you in a second what my...
Sometimes we cut, sometimes we don't.
Okay.
We're drunk on comments. We
yeah, it's, da- it's facebook.com downloaded doc.
Awesome.
All right. Awesome. Well, listeners, definitely check that out. And Alex, thank you so much for taking
the
time.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed that batch of interviews.
Yeah, it was. I know it was a blast for me on the ones I was involved in, and sounds like you and Matt had a good time on yours too. So
yep, I have to say I was kind of sad I didn't go up to the Capitol Con to meet Dennis, but
you know that's one of those conventions that it's a very small convention, but man, is that a nice one. So yeah. You know, they had a nice guest list. Unfortunately, their guests that they had were so busy I was only able to get that one from there, but next year, although I did follow it up with you, Tony, I did talk to Ryan, and he's sticking with the fact that Peter's a figment of his mind, not a ghost.
Yeah, but we don't have that on video, so I'm going to pretend like he told you off mic, Derek, I was totally lying.
Yeah. Well, we'll go with the recorded evidence. All right, guys. Make sure you check out our weekly podcast where we do the reviews and talk news and all other fun stuff on there.
Yep, and look forward to, I think we have just a few more, so we should have the last batch of interviews that we've done most recently.
Yeah, that'll probably be coming up here next week. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and drunkoncomics.com. That does it for me.
Does it for me.
All right, guys. We'll catch you soon.
I kind of want to interview my phone again.
No.